What a blessing it is to be here this morning. I trust you're all doing well. How's it been going in the home? I just was thinking about our wives and thinking about our husbands this morning and just thinking, I wonder how things are going. If you've been meditating and thinking on some of the principles that we've been learning as we go through the book of 1 Peter, it is such a blessing to be able to take the time to look at God's word, to have him speak into our lives personally and very practically. This morning we are back in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. And I have to admit, I'm going to really skip introductions because I have a lot I want to share with you from the Word of God. There are a lot of practical principles that we're going to look at this morning. If you would look at 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. If you would follow along as I read the Word of God, the inspired Word, it says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." I've entitled this morning's sermon, "Considerate Husbands." Last time when we were in God's Word looking at the family and looking at the role of husbands, I entitled the last sermon, "Loving Husbands." This morning, we come to a passage of Scripture that has much to teach us husbands on being a considerate husband. I have to be honest with you, I've been looking forward to preaching this message. I have, as I've been studying this, been praying for the men of our church, future husbands and husbands. And I've been studying these verses and really meditating upon them for some time. And I have to be honest with you, I'm excited to teach this because I really do believe and see that this is one of the greatest weaknesses of husbands. It is the area of being a considerate husband to their wife. There are basically three principles that I want to pull out from this passage this morning that God gives us in order to help us be considerate husbands. The first principle that I want you to see in our passage as we dive right into these verses, the first important principle that we have to understand in order for a man or for a husband to be a considerate husband is he must live with his wife. This is a very clear command that Peter gives us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It is a very basic principle, but it is an important foundational principle that I must bring up into the minds of our husbands. Notice what Peter says. He says, "You husbands, in the same way," notice, "live with your wives." That seems like a very basic principle, don't you think? Seems like a very simple principle, and it really is, but unfortunately, this happens to be a principle that is often overlooked by husbands. This is a principle that husbands oftentimes neglect at a very foundational level in their marriages, and that is, if a husband is going to begin the process of even being a considerate husband, the first thing he must consider in being a considerate husband is he living with his wife? Sounds simple. Or let me put it this way, another way that I could say it is, are you present in the home? That really is what it is talking about. Are you present? Are you physically there? Or are you absent from the home? Or do you spend time with your wife, living with her? Or are you just absent from your wife, spending time other places? You see, the command is, husbands, live with your wives. The word is very clear on this. The word is sun oikeo. It is a compound word. It is a word that means literally, okeo means to dwell or to live, and soon means together with. That means that a husband must be physically present in the presence of his wife. He cannot expect to even begin to be a considerate husband if he is not home, if he is oftentimes away from home. It is very difficult to fulfill this command if a husband is rarely home. Now, I understand, men, that some situations require or may require that a husband be absent from the home. In fact, we understand this. We know that there are some men who maybe serve in the military, and that requires for them to spend a lot of time maybe away from home for a season. And maybe there's times in a home where a husband needs to be absent from his wife because of his work, and his work is calling him away. We understand that a husband has a responsibility to provide for his wife, and we understand that this may take a husband away from his home or from his wife. But beloved, let us be honest. It is not an ideal situation for a husband to be away from the home for long periods of time, all as an action, as a way of life. Husbands must be diligent to be mindful that they are present with their wives, that they are home, and they are careful to be in the presence of their wives. Husbands need to be reminded of this, especially when they're thinking about their work, or when they're considering a future job, or when they're thinking about some aspect in the future in which they're going to provide for their wife. They need to consider, will this take me away from my wife for long periods of time? Peter very clearly says, husbands, live with your wives. Soon oikeo, present active participle, used in an imperative sense, meaning husbands, be always dwelling with your wives. This is a vital principle. Seems very basic, and it is, but it is a principle that husbands often miss. Husbands oftentimes love their work more than their wives, unfortunately. Husbands will often choose careers without any regard to their wives as to what it would mean for their wife in the presence, and also for their marriage. It is not good for a husband to be away from his wife. And I would add to this, it puts a marriage at risk. It puts a marriage at risk. There are all kinds of temptations that can arise from a husband being physically absent from the home. I don't have time to go into all of them, but I'm sure your mind can go there and figure that out. This is why, beloved, God commands husbands to live with their wives. He wants them to make it a habit to spend time with their wives. We could also say that God is really commanding husbands to make their wives a priority in their lives. And at a basic foundational level, it means being with their wife physically. And so, what this ultimately means, husbands, is you need to make your wife a priority. So important. Husbands can live with their wives, they can be there, but maybe they're only there for a few hours a night. They are there just to eat and sleep, and the rest of their time they are elsewhere physically. Beloved men, this is not God's ideal standard. God cares that a husband is devoted to spending time with his wife. He cares that husbands are physically in the presence of their wives. He cares that not only are they physically present, but they are also emotionally present with their wives. And we're going to look at this. How do I know that God cares about a husband being with his wife? Well, obviously, the text is very clear on this. But I always think of this principle in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5, where when God was making laws in regards to the home, and in regards to marriage, actually Deuteronomy 24 is in the context of how they were to deal with divorce between a husband and a wife. But in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5, God gives a law regarding marriage, and he gives a law regarding newlyweds. He gives a law in regards to a husband who is first has been just newly married. And it said this in Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. He said, when a man takes a new wife, he shall not go out with the army, nor be charged with any duty. He shall be free at home 1 year and shall give happiness to his wife whom he has taken. What a great principle that is it not? Obviously, God would have as an understanding of that, he wouldn't want a newly married husband to go off and serve in the army because he could die in a war and that would not be healthy. In fact, there's other laws that prohibit him from doing this when he was even engaged. But it also says, he shall not go out with the army nor be charged with any duty. He shall be at home 1 year and shall give happiness to his wife. What's the principle? The principle is that God wants husbands to be present with their wives. He wants them to fortify their marriages. He wants them to establish a good relationship with their wife before the duties of life can get in the place of that and carry them away. I always find that interesting that God would have that in the context of divorce. You see, if you want to fortify your marriage, husbands and wives as well, but husbands, seek to spend time with your wife. So husbands, how are you doing with this one simple command? Is your wife the priority of your life? Do you spend time with her? Are you present when you are with her? Do you need to make some changes at work, or where do you need to make some changes in how you spend your time, even when you are in her presence? What do you need to do, husband, to kind of think through this principle? This is a fantastic principle that you can think of. And how could you maybe even fulfill this principle if you do have to be carried away from the presence of your wife, maybe at work? Well, you know, there's this beautiful thing that we have called technology. And literally, we can be present with people even being thousands of miles away through things like FaceTime and Zoom. Husband, be present with your wife. Live with her. The second principle that we see in this passage of scripture that Peter gives us, husbands, to be considerate husbands with our wives. That is, we must first live with our wives, but we have to live with them in an understanding way. This is the addition that Peter adds to this command to live with your wife, men. He raises it up a big notch when he says, live with your wife in an understanding way. You need to live with her, but you need to do it in an understanding way. Another way I could say it is a considerate husband is a husband who understands his wife. Notice what it says. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. This, men, takes the command to a higher level, because it means that while God wants a husband physically present in the home and in the presence of his wife, he doesn't want him to just be there physically. He wants a husband to be there fully with all of his being. He wants a husband to be with his wife intellectually. He wants a husband to be with his wife emotionally, spiritually. He wants husbands to fully engage in the relationship that they have with their wives. And I have to say, men, in my humble opinion, this is a command that I feel many husbands, myself included, need to actively put into practice in their lives. And I'm not speaking of unbelieving husbands in unbelieving marriages. They need to do that as well. The principles apply with them. What I'm really thinking of are Christian husbands. I'm thinking of Christian marriages. I can't even begin to tell you of the Christian husbands that I have counseled in marital counseling, or that even Christian husbands that I've come to know in time in the church as believing friends. I have not seen it go well for many a husband who did not put this principle into practice in their marriage. I've seen fellow pastors ignore this principle. I've seen fellow seminary students when I was in seminary ignore this principle. I've seen Christian friends and acquaintances ignore this principle, and I have seen those marriages crumble. I've seen it not go well with those men in those situations. I've seen them lose their wives. I've seen them lose their families. I've seen them lose the respect of the Christian community. I've seen them lose their ministries. And I've seen them lose the direct blessings of the Lord in their lives. And it was all because they did not live with their wives in an understanding way. Or as it literally says in the language, they did not live with their wives literally according to knowledge. They did not live with their wives according to knowledge. The word is gnosis, which speaks of living with your wife according to experiential knowledge. It comes from gnosko, which is not just knowledge of the mind. It is knowledge that is practically fleshed out by experience. It's with the mind and with experience. It's experiential knowledge. This is knowledge that a husband should know about his wife. And it is knowledge that a husband acquires about his wife experientially over time. It's knowledge that's gained over time as he lives with her, as he is in her presence. And it is knowledge that he is actively pursuing in his marriage as he seeks to know his wife. It's not knowledge that he gains of his wife watching a football game. It's not knowledge that he gains of his wife while he's looking at all the different stats or trying to figure something out that has nothing to do with his wife or his marriage. It's not knowledge that he gains of his wife at work. This is knowledge that he gains as he's in her presence, seeking to understand her and know her. And beloved, I wish I had time to go into this because this is a huge principle. In fact, if you want a book, husbands, that would help you understand the depth and the breadth of this living with your wife in an understanding way, I would encourage you to read Lou Priello's book called The Complete Husband. Fantastic book on this principle. You know, he even begins that book by saying, husband, wouldn't you have wished that God would have given you an owner's manual to your wife? I mean, amen to that, right? Man. He goes on to say he has. He has given you an owner's manual. And it's in the Word of God, but it's really you pursuing to learn about your wife. This is what God has called us to, men. You are to be engaged with all your being into knowing your wife. This is a lifelong process in the marriage that you are currently in. You need to know about your wife's capabilities. You need to know about her strengths. You need to know about her weaknesses. You need to know what she likes and what she dislikes. And you need to know who she is and you need to know who she isn't. You need to know what all about her physical makeup. What are some of the areas that she needs help with? How can you help her with the children physically? Are you sensitive to what it is like to parent kids? Maybe 3 kids, 4 kids, or maybe 11 kids, right? Some people in our church. What are some things that you can do to help your wife in understanding her just by nature physically? You need to know about her spiritual constitution. You need to learn about her character. You need to seek ways to help her grow spiritually. How can you wash her in the word, so to speak, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, so that you can sanctify her? How can you help her use her spiritual gifts to serve you, the family, and the church of Jesus Christ? You need to know these things. You need to know about her social constitution. What's her social life like? How can you get involved in her social life? How can you help her foster healthy relationships? And what relationships do you maybe need to bring some protection and some wisdom in? You need to know her. Men, as much as you can, you need to pursue this. And the reason you're to do this is so that you can live with her in a compassionate and considerate way. Or another way we could say it, so that you can live with her in a thoughtful and sensitive way. Or that you can live with her in a chivalrous or courteous way. Now, that's a word we don't hear very much, is it? Chivalry? Chivalrous? When it comes to how men should treat ladies with chivalry, boy, that is a completely lost art in our culture. And you know who's responsible for that? Men. And women. And women. Chivalry. Where a man does things for his wife because it's an act of love, because he knows her, because he's considerate of her, because he's sensitive to her, like opening a car door for her, or like offering her your coat when it's cold, or maybe giving up your seat. Instead of you sitting there, you give it to her, or helping her put her coat on, or pulling out her chair before she sits down at the table. Or maybe leaving her love notes, expressing your love and appreciation for her. Or calling her when you actually say you will call her. Or getting her some flowers when it's not Valentine's Day or her birthday. Walking her to her car at night because you want to protect her. Or offering to drop her off while you park the car far away. Complimenting her for something she does, and not just how she looks, but also how she looks. Chivalry. Chivalry, men. Living with your wife in a courteous, thoughtful way. Taking time to take care of the little things with your wives. You know, I have to say, you know, it just always amazes me. I find that wives really, literally, they're really not all that difficult to please. It's actually found in the little things. It's the little things that tend to matter to ladies. They may seem little to a man, but they're large to a wife. And you know what? They are large to God. They're important to God. And we know this because notice how he commands the manner in which husbands are to know their wives. Notice what he says, verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. Listen, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. And this is a description of how a husband is to live with his wife according to knowledge. He is to live with her in an understanding way because he understands that she is a woman. And with this means he understands that she is literally, as it says in the language, the weaker vessel. Notice it does not say that she is weak. It says that she is the weaker vessel. You know what that implies? That implies that both husband and wife are weak. But of the two, she is the weaker of the two. Now that doesn't mean that she is inferior to her husband. Just because she is a woman, we have spent a lot of time on that. That is not what Peter is saying here. And we know this because Peter says very clearly, she's a fellow heir of the grace of life. We're going to look at that. That means that she inherits life. That means that she's not inferior to her husband because she's a woman. She's not on a lower status with God because she is a woman. She's been made in the image of God and she's a fellow heir. Peter is not saying that she's inferior. What Peter is saying is he's saying that men need to live with her according to knowledge because of her constitution is different than his. And what he's really talking about, he's not talking about immaterial makeup, meaning she's made in the image of God. He's not comparing those. He's really talking about physically her material makeup, meaning that men and women are not the same physically. God has clearly made them different physically. I know that this is not a popular thing to say in a transgender culture. I understand that. But this is what the Word of God says. Generally, what we understand is that men are physically stronger than women. This is not politically correct, but it is biblically correct as we come to this verse before us. I want to give you some stats regarding this so you can kind of understand that. Not only does the Word of God say this, but biologically, we understand this to be true. And there are literally a plethora of doctors, MD, nutritionists, you name it, we could keep going on, that affirm this. There's a website called Steady Health, and it has a plethora of medical doctors that weigh in on this issue. And let me tell you, this is a hot button in our culture with transgenderism. But let me just tell you some of the stats that they read. I'm only reading just a few of them. It says the average man is taller and heavier than the average woman. And what this means is that men literally have more skeletal muscle mass than women. Women are more sensitive to sound than men. Men are typically over 30% physically stronger than women, especially in the upper body. Men have larger hearts and lungs than women. Men and women have different levels of certain hormones. For example, men have a higher concentration of androgens, also called male hormones, and for this reason, or such as testosterone, while women have a higher concentration of estrogens. Because of this, men have higher levels of testosterone, which causes them to produce greater amount of red blood cells. Differences in intake and delivery of oxygen translate into some aspects of athletic performance. When a man is jogging at 50% of his capacity, a woman will need to work over 70% of her capacity just to keep up with him. By the way, that's why there's a big debate with some of these transgender people that are entering into women's sports and athletics. They're breaking all these records that have been set by great women athletes. Some more stats. Men's skin usually has more collagen and sebum, which makes it thicker and oilier than women's skin. Maybe that's why my wife likes lotion so much, and I can't stand it. She wants to put lotion on me. I'm like, get that away from me. I hate feeling greasy. Can men relate to that? Maybe they can. Maybe they can. Women generally have a greater fat percentage than men. An average male brain has approximately 4% more cells and 100 grams more brain tissue than the average female brain. And listen to this. This is not connected with intelligence. Research points to no overall difference in intelligence between males and females. Both sexes have similar brain weight to body weight ratios. And wouldn't that make sense? Because they're made in the image of God. We're not talking about immaterial aspect. We're talking about material aspect, the body, biologically. Men tend to have better distance vision and depth perception and usually better vision in lighted environments. And they have a better spatial reasoning than women. We know this factually. I was telling my wife, maybe that's why I pack the U-Haul maybe a little bit more efficiently. I don't know. Women often have better night vision. They see better at the red end of the light spectrum and have better visual memory. These are just some of the biological differences between men and women. Now, the reason I share them with you is I do that because this is somewhat of the reason we find Peter saying what he says of why men need to be considerate of their wives, because they are built physically different than us. You know, God didn't duplicate you with your wife. He complemented you with your wife. Meaning there are things in your life that are weaknesses that God has given your wife to help fill those in. You see, that's the issue. What this means practically for men is that your wife must be treated with knowledge, with understanding. And that does not mean that he dominates over his wife. That does not mean that he treats her as inferior to himself. It does not mean that he thinks that he is better than her or that he mocks her intelligence. He would never do that because she's not inferior to him, nor is he in any competition with his wife. You are made differently, and that's the key here. What it means is because she is the weaker vessel in physical stature, it should cause a husband to be sensitive to the needs of his wife. It should cause him to be more considerate of her. It should make him be more thoughtful of her. It should motivate him to care for her and to protect her and to provide for her. Or to use the words of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, it should mean that he nourishes and cherishes his wife as Christ does the church. That word nourish literally means to take care of the needs of the body. And cherish means to tenderly care for someone. That is what God expects husbands to do in regards to their wives. And in order to do this, men, a husband must seek to understand his wife very thoroughly. How will a husband nourish and cherish his wife if he is ignorant of her needs and of her desires? He literally cannot do it. A husband can't sit back in marriage and just ignorantly pass on through time, hoping it all just works out in the end. No, he must actively pursue knowing his wife. Sadly, beloved, this is why divorce is literally 50% in our country. Realize that married couples, 50% of them will end in divorce in our country. And that's because wives feel abandoned by their husbands. They feel like their husbands don't understand them. They feel like their husbands don't nourish and cherish them. They feel like their husbands aren't considerate of them or their needs. And they feel like they're unthoughtful in their lives with them. And generally, I would have to say they're right. They are. And that's because men are generally weak in this area of their lives. They are insensitive. God has wired us differently, truly. And they are unthoughtful to their wife's needs. And unfortunately, they don't cherish and nourish their wives like they should. And even though they might be in the home physically, they are oftentimes checked out intellectually, spiritually, and emotionally. And that's why the divorce rate is what it is. This is why, men, we must work at this principle of Scripture. Notice the word work. It takes work. It takes intentional work. And we need to work on this because, number one, we are sinners. And by nature, we are selfish. We care about ourselves. But we also need to work on it because, let's just be honest, men, we are clueless. That is really true. We are clueless to the needs of our wives. We shouldn't be, but we are. But this is why God has given us a wife, to help us begin to understand and be more sensitive and thoughtful and considerate. And I say this, beloved, because I'm speaking from experience. I'm sure many husbands can understand this. I'm saying this as experience as a pastor, having counseled husbands, but I'm mostly saying it because I'm a married man myself, and I deal with my own sin. I have learned about my own insensitivities and inconsiderate attitudes and thoughtlessness. I have learned this. I have learned how clueless I often am. And so I say this to our husbands to kind of spare you. I have to share this little example with you. I'll never forget this. Early on in our marriage, you know, Carrie and I were working on our marriage, and I could very clearly see that I was not pleasing my wife. You know, wives tend to have it right here. They carry it right here in the face. It's body language. And I could see I was not pleasing her. And it was at that time that the Lord really taught us both that I was having an insensitive and thoughtless time with my wife. And I can't remember exactly what the situation was because there's honestly just too many times to remember. But I remember the moment that we both kind of went, ah, I see this. I had done something that was inconsiderate of my wife, but at that moment I turned to my wife as I could see it on her face. She was displeased. And I said to her, I said, honey, do you think that I was purposely trying to be insensitive to your needs? And she kind of went, well, I don't know. I said, well, I certainly was not purposely trying to be thoughtless and insensitive. I said to her, I said, you need to realize that truly I'm clueless. I'm clueless. And that's not an excuse. That was not an excuse to get out of my responsibility. It was an honest assessment of the situation. It was not even on my radar, so to speak. That was a big moment for the two of us. It taught me to be more thoughtful and considerate of my wife in certain situations. And guess what it taught her? It taught her to put on love with my insensitivity. It taught her how she could even help me with my insensitivity. She realized that I was not intending to purposely be insensitive and hurt her. And that could help her work on love, hoping all things. And it could help me remembering how to be thoughtful in situations that I needed to be more thoughtful in. Husbands, at this point, are you living with your wife in an understanding way? How are you doing that? Let me get a little practical with you if I can, just a little bit. Let me give you a little tips that I can give you, some of the things I've drawn from some of my study and even in my own marriage. First, I want to encourage you, if you're going to live with your wife in an understanding way, I've already said this, but be diligent to observe your wife. Observe her. Study her. Learn her. If we can go to the ant and learn from the ant's behavior and what an ant does, as we learn in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, how much more can we learn, husbands, by observing our wives? You say, well, Pastor, I watch her, but I don't understand her. And I don't think I ever will. Well, you never will truly understand her, but it's not that your wife is too complicated to know. You need to understand that your wife is changing. She's a person just like you, and people are complex creatures, but she's changing. So be constant in learning about her. Secondly, I would encourage you, men, ask her questions. Questions. Seek to understand her through questions. I love what Proverbs 20 verse 5 says. It says, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Draw it out. It's your responsibility. Take the time to find out what is going on inside of her heart. Ask her about her day. Ask her about how parenting is going. Ask her about what she likes and dislikes. Ask her about what scripture she's learning and how she's encouraged in the Word of God. Ask her about church. Ask her about spiritual matters. Ask her about her friends. Ask her about her family. Get to know her. Ask her about her fears, her joys, her sorrows. Ask her about her goals. Seek to get in her shoes for a time by seeking to be sympathetic of your wife. In fact, you know, Peter commands us all to be sympathetic. Look at verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. He says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Sympathetic means to try and get into another person's situation and understand what they're feeling. You know, this is something that Christ was. He was sympathetic. Ask how you can pray for her. Ask her how you can serve her. What a great way to get to learn about your wife. It helps you understand what it's like to be in her shoes. Maybe ask to do the laundry for a week. That dreaded task. I don't know about you, but that is the task of tasks. Or maybe you can ask her if you can watch the kids for a week and let her go off and be with some family and some friends for a time. And you can learn what that's like to have to manage the home without her. These are just a few ways that you can live with your wife in an understanding way. But the most important thing, men, is you need to act on your knowledge. It's not enough to just know about your wife. You have to act on that knowledge. It should cause you to live differently with your wife. It should cause you to be more considerate of her and thoughtful of her needs, and that is the key. Let's look at the third principle that we come to in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, of what it means to be a considerate husband. First and foremost, a considerate husband lives with his wife. A considerate husband lives with his wife and understands his wife. And thirdly, a considerate husband honors his wife. That is a key principle as well. Notice what it says, verse 7. He says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life." Did you hear that principle? Show her honor. What a great principle we find in this verse, especially when it's connected with living with your wife according to knowledge, as with a weaker vessel, because it points out another way that a husband can be considerate of his wife, and that is showing her honor. I just want to remind you that this would have been a revolutionary principle that was written down in the time that Peter gave this verse. You remember I talked about this and when we talked about husbands loving their wives, but this is a key principle. This would have just went counterculture to the times. You remember I talked about in those days in the Greco-Roman world, that was literally absent of the home. Wives were not honored by their husbands. And it wasn't any better in the Jewish society, by the way. Jewish women were treated poorly as well. They were not given any legal position in society, and divorce was a problem as well within the Jewish community. And that's because Jewish men didn't honor women either. In fact, there was a morning prayer that Jewish men prayed that said this, quote, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, who has not made me a woman," end quote. That gives you an idea of the attitude. So for Peter to write this command, to show your wife honor, was a big deal. It went counterculture to the times. And it was counterculture because that is not the way God wanted husbands to treat their wives. He did not want them to treat them as inferior to themselves because they're a weaker vessel, because she's a woman. He wanted husbands to treat their wives with honor, much honor. And why? Notice what he says. Because they are co-heirs of the grace of life. In other words, husbands are to treat their wives with honor because they are fellow heirs of the gracious gift of life, literally. What is Peter referring to when he says this gift of life, this gracious gift of life? Well, it could mean that he's just speaking generally in regards to the gift of life that we live naturally on this earth. That both a husband and a wife share this life on earth, like Ecclesiastes says in 9 verse 9. Listen to this. It says, "Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and your toil in which you have labored under the sun." Maybe Peter's referring to a husband treating his wife with honor because they are co-heirs of this life. They share in this life. And marriage and the gift of marriage is the reward that God gives man while he lives out his fleeting life on this earth. That could be what Peter is referring to. Could also be that Peter is referring to the grace that is bestowed in eternal life, salvation. Grace that a wife receives in salvation, grace that a husband receives in salvation. And because they are co-heirs of eternal life, this means that they both have an equal status with God. They both have been justified by grace. They've both been regenerated by grace, made new in Christ. Then they will both be glorified by grace. And because of this, the woman should be honored and esteemed. Because of this, the wife is just as entitled to all the promises of salvation as her husband. And because of this, she is just as saved as he is. As I've often said, the foot of the cross is level ground. It's not on a hierarchy of a hill. It's level ground. Could be that's what Peter is referring to. I mean, after all, doesn't he say there's neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ? Wives are not less than their husbands. They're on equal status with God in salvation and in this life. God values women. Women are just as important and valuable as men. What does Peter mean? Well, I tend to lean towards the latter view, but maybe it's both. Maybe he's just referring to the grace of life, and that should just matter-of-factly change how we treat our wives. That's really the principle. Husbands must show honor to their wives. They must ascribe it. Literally, in the language, it means to assign honor to someone. It means to ascribe honor and respect where honor and respect is due because of the value that someone has. We get this understanding of honor, and Peter even brings us to some of this. The word is timē in the language, and he uses it a couple times in his own epistle, and it refers to something that is precious. Look over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. What does it mean to honor your wife? Well, you should see her as precious. We see this word timē used in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Notice that he says that. So that the proof of your faith being more precious, there's the word, than gold, which is perishable. He's talking about your faith. Your faith is precious. It's more precious than gold, riches. Jump down to chapter 2, verse 6. We see this word timē, honor, used to refer to Christ as the precious cornerstone. Notice what it says, verse 6. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone. Notice, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious, there it is again, value then is for you who believe. There's that word, precious. How precious is Christ? Precious. Peter uses that word timē to speak of a husband's relationship to his wife and how he treats her. He is to show her honor. He's to ascribe to her honor and respect because she is precious. She's precious. She's precious to God, and she should be precious to you. She should be precious to you because she's a gift that God has given you. She's precious because she's made in God's image. She's precious because she's been given to you to be your helpmate in this life. And she's precious to you because she has been saved by the gift and the grace of Christ. That means that she's a companion in Christ if you are married to a believing wife. He has given you a fellow heir of the grace of life in Christ. And there is nothing better in this life than that, by the way. That means that the grace of Jesus Christ literally flows through your wife into your life. And it flows and fills in all the voids that you lack. He did not duplicate you. He complemented you with your wife. And that is why you must treat her with much respect. Christ lives in her. I was reminded of Matthew 25, verse 40, where it says, truly, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me, giving the principle that how you treat Christians is how you treat Christ. And here, husbands, we have the principle that God has given you a wife. How important it is to treat her with honor. I want you to notice also, notice the verb tense there. Notice you are to ascribe honor, or you're to show honor. Present tense, participle, active. You are to continually be habitually showing her honor. Honor. What an important principle. Amen. Such an important principle. This is an area where husbands need to grow in, showing honor to their wives, treating them like they're the most precious gift they have ever been given. like they would a million-dollar vessel from the Ming Dynasty, a relic of the most highest value. You would take such good care of that. You would not treat it harshly. You would treat it gently. How are you doing with this Ming? What are some areas that you need to change in obedience to this command? Can I give you a few practical ways to do this as well, men? And I think the first and foremost way is you need to start with your thinking. Start changing your thinking about how you think about your wife, how you value your wife in relation to how God values your wife. Change your thought life, and then you will see your behavior and your actions change towards your wife. One of the simple, very practical ways that you can do this, I think, men, is thank God for your wife. Thank God for her. Thank God for her weaknesses, and thank God for her strengths. Thank God for who she is, and thank God for what she brings to your life. And then practically thank your wife for what she is and who she is and what she does for you. And seek to practically give praise to her for the work that she does. You remember in Proverbs 31, the husband of the Proverbs 31 wife, the excellent wife, you remember that the husband praises his wife? And you remember the kids do too? It says this in Proverbs 31, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You see, men, practically give honor to your wife in very practical ways. And by the way, as a footnote, have your children do it as well. Seek to not let your children dishonor your wife. They need to honor her as well. Another way, husbands, you can honor your wife is be diligent to be mindful of how you speak to your wife. Show her honor in the way you speak to her, by the way you listen to her. You know, you're commanded to know your wife, and you can't do that if you're not actively listening to her. You can't honor her if you speak disrespectful to her or you condescend in your speech to her. You know, I've often said this, you know how you can tell if you're speaking condescending to your wife or to anyone for that matter, is at the end of your sentence, you could add, you stupid idiot. You know, what were you thinking when you backed up the car over there, you stupid idiot? It's all in the tone. It's all in the demeanor. Seek to be wise and diligent about that. When you speak of your wife to others, don't bring her down, men. Don't ridicule her. Don't mock her. Don't belittle her. Compliment her. Build her up. Give her the praise that is due her in the presence of others. And another way you can honor your wives, men, is by serving her. It really shows how much you honor her, really. It's the greatest practical demonstration of how valuable and precious you think your wife is to you. Well, men, these are just a few ways that you can show honor to your wife, but these are the principles, and this is what it means to be a considerate husband. It's a high calling, wouldn't you say? Very high calling, needing much grace, especially given our sin nature. We need to strive for this in our marriages. And I want to show you one of the reasons why we must do this is because of what Peter says at the end of verse 7. Notice what it says there. Why should a husband be diligent to show his wife honor and live with her in a knowledgeable way? Look what it says. He says, you're to live with her in an understanding way. Notice, giving her honor so that your prayers will not be hindered. Wow. Boy, that's a serious warning, is it not? Literally in the language, so that your prayers will not be cut off, severed. Now that might not sound like a big deal, especially maybe if you're a husband that doesn't pray much, but it's so much more than prayer that we're talking about here. Because as we understand prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is a person's communion with God. Prayer is an aspect or a demonstration of a person's visible relationship with God. And so prayer, to have your prayers cut off, is to say that your relationship with God will suffer. He will not answer your prayers as you desire, for one, but your fellowship with Christ will be hindered. God will remove and cut off, so to speak, his divine blessing for a time. Beloved, that's a serious one. You know, I've met many men who would propound to have a great relationship with God, and yet they're in conflict with their wives. Contrary to the actual things that a person is saying. One commentator said this, "The warning is clearly given that if a husband in Christ is not fulfilling his responsibilities toward his wife, God may not answer his prayers. No more serious divine threat could be given to a believer than that. The interruption of all the promises of prayers heard and answered, that is severe, cutting off the divine blessing, which shows how critical a Christian husband's loving care of their partner is in this grace of life." What a sober warning, is it not, men? We can't expect to have the divine blessings of God if we're in conflict with our wives, if we're not living with our wives in an understanding way, if we're not showing her honor as a precious value to our lives, as a precious gift. God wants you to love your wife. He wants you to sacrifice for your wife. He wants you to be thoughtful of your wife. He wants you to honor your wife. And the way you do that is just simply obey Christ. I'm always reminded of John 14, verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." He's talking about prayer. Husbands, you don't want your prayers to be cut off, but the key phrase there is, "Whatever you do in my name," it speaks of you putting Christ first and walking in his name, obeying what he's told you to do. 1 John 3:21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." Men, don't cut yourself off from the close fellowship of the Lord by cutting yourself off with the close relationship with your wives. Seek to honor the Lord. Pursue him by seeking to honor and love your wives. Much more could be said at this time, but we're gonna stop here. But what a blessing it is to come before the Lord and see the Lord use his word in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much for this time in your word. Lord God, I really do pray for the husbands of our church, and for any husband who might listen in on the sermon. Lord God, I pray that you would set this principle deep down into their soul. Lord, help us husbands live with our wives according to knowledge, seeking to be thoughtful, considerate. Help us, Lord God, to honor them with the honor that you have given them. May we treat them with much respect. And may we do this because of our love and respect for you. That our prayers may not be hindered, that our fellowship with you might be vibrant and full and rich, as we have a vibrant and full, rich relationship with our wives. Lord, I also pray for the wives of our church. I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to help them in the areas that you have taught them as well, in submissiveness, in humility, in gentility, in the relationship with their husbands. For Lord, we know that not only will the husband's prayers be hindered, but we know that it applies to wives as well. Lord God, may you do the work in your church. May you fortify the marriages in our church. And Lord God, may this be an example, a groundwork for those who may be looking at marriage in the future. May you use it to honor yourself for them as well. Lord, I also ask for your grace with those who might be here this morning who don't know you. Lord, ultimately what they need to do is they need to be married to you by trusting in your work on the cross on their behalf. I pray, Lord God, you would do that work in their heart as well. Grant them a faith, grant them a repentance that leads to life, that they may be married to you for all eternity. You are the great shepherd of the sheep, Lord. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. What a great passage for us, beloved, to be reminded of. I call your attention to Jude. I love this benediction at the end to give you a benediction as we close in our time. It says this in Jude 24. He says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless." I love that. Blameless, with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great rest of the Lord's day.